The spiritual gifts that God gives us are to build up the body of Christ, to accomplish God's purposes. And when we do it, we find our greatest joy and our greatest fulfillment. Not to us, but to your name
be the glory. Yes! Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Spiritual Gifts. Let's listen in as J.P. gives part two of It Starts With Relationship.
You see, this whole discussion of spiritual gifts, you got to start with your relationship with God. We need a God-centered life so that our service and our connection with one another and our contribution is an overflow of a rich, full, deep, personal relationship with Christ. We need a God-centered life. That means we surrender our bodies as a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is our spiritual act of worship. Verse 2 says, "And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Not only are we to present our bodies to God, but we are to stop being conformed to this world. The word conform here is the Greek word schemizo. It's where we get the word schematic. The idea is that the world has a schematic, a blueprint, and it's seeking to squeeze us into the mold of the blueprint. The world has a pattern, and every day we are pressed and pushed and tempted to fit into that pattern. And Paul says part of our surrendering our whole lives to God and presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is that we are to stop that process of being squeezed into the world's mold. And 1 John 2:15-17 tells us what the world's mold looks like. Because it says in 1 John 2:15-17, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, that's not from the Father, but it's from the world, and the world is passing away, and also all its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever." The world's mold is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. So every day we're going to be bombarded and squeezed and pushed and try to be molded, just like Play-Doh. Just like when you take Play-Doh and you make it up into a ball and then you try to push it through one of those plastic molds so that it comes out at the end exactly like that plastic mold. We are being pushed into the mold of the world, the schematic of the world, which is characterized by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And part of our living a God-centered life is we say no to our participation in that process. Because we're not just passive victims of it. You know, we get to make choices. We have a will. And so we are to make a choice to stop being squeezed into the world's mold. Positively, it says, verse 2 of Romans 12, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The word transform is the Greek word metamorpho. The emphasis here is not being changed from the outside in, but the inside out. It's not like we're being squeezed into a mold, but from the inside, life change is happening, and that life change from the inside is working itself out on the outside. It's a metamorphosis. Same thing that happens to a caterpillar. Caterpillar crawls up onto a twig, attaches itself to the twig, stays there for a while. All of a sudden, a hard, crusty outside shell forms, a cocoon. You don't know what's going on, but something's happening on the inside. A change is happening on the inside, and all of a sudden, that hard, crusty cocoon cracks open and a butterfly comes out. That was a metamorphosis, a change from the inside that worked itself out on the outside. God wants to perform a spiritual metamorphosis in our lives. As we present ourselves to Him, as we stop being conformed to this world, we are to be transformed. God is the one who transforms us, but what's our part? By the renewing of our mind. It's our mind. Our minds play the key role in spiritual life change, what we think about. That's why there's all those commands to the mind. First scripture I ever memorized in my entire life after I gave my life to Christ, my brother led a Bible study and said, "Hey, you got to memorize this verse." So I did it. 1 Peter 1:13-16. "Therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your heart completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." It's the mind. Gird your minds for action. Colossians 3:1, since then you've been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. Romans 8, verse 6, the mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the spirit is life and peace. See, our minds matter. And our minds can be renewed spiritually. So, context, spiritual gifts, how God has designed us to grow spiritually, to serve, and to make a difference in this world. First things first, start with your relationship with God. We need a God-centered life. That means we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That means we stop being conformed to this world. It means we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is why we have got to get into this book. Because this will change our lives. When we read and study and memorize and meditate on Scripture, God changes our lives. It renews our mind. And the renewing of the mind is the means that the Holy Spirit uses to transform us. And all of us have the capacity to renew our minds. We just do. That's the way we're wired. Some of us maybe have greater capacities than others, but all of us have a built-in mechanism where we just learn and remember and store information. Stupid factoids. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. High school biology, 1972. Now, is that changing my life? Is that making me a better man, a better husband because I remember that? No, but it's just a fact. I learned it. I memorized it. We remember, you know, jingles on the radio and numbers and songs. I've got two teenagers and one preteen. Every time they get in the car, they want to turn the radio. And just by passive listening, I memorize stuff, you know. What you going to do with all that junk inside your trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, get you love drunk on my hump. My lovely lady lumps. Oh, my gosh. That's ruining my mind. That's what that's doing. Did I try to memorize that? No. I just heard it enough to where I learned it. Now, think about that principle. You can test this. If you read a passage of Scripture enough, guess what? You'd memorize it. It would be in your heart. And what Psalm 119 said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. God's word changes us. It renews our mind. But it's all a matter of how much we're getting it into our lives. Spiritual gifts, part of a body of Christ designed to make a difference in this church, in the kingdom, in the world, in the Great Commission. But where do we start? Our relationship with God. We need a God-centered life. That means we present our whole bodies to God. That means we stop being conformed to this world. That means we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Second observation from Romans chapter 12 is this. Not only do we need a God-centered life, we need to see ourselves as part of Christ's body. Romans 12, verses 3 to 5. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Did you know that we're not lone rangers in our faith? Remember the Lone Ranger? Hi-oh, Silver! He did his little deal, he rode off, and what did everybody say? Who was that masked man? No one knew who the Lone Ranger was. He was just an independent Lone Ranger. A lot of people think that's where the Christian life is. I am a Lone Ranger, me and God. That's nowhere taught in the Bible. As soon as I crossed the line into a new relationship with Jesus Christ, that very moment, God makes me a new person, but you know what he also does? He connects me to every other new person. We are interdependent on one another. This passage says, we are part of a body, it says, just like you have a physical body and it has different parts. We are part of a body, and it says, we are members of one another. I have an inseparable, spiritual, eternal relationship with you, and you have one with me. Now, you look at Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are all passages that teach about the body as a theological concept. Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 3. Two observations. One is this. We are part of a universal, transcendent body. that every Christian who has ever lived, any time, all time, everywhere, we are all connected, the body of Christ. That's a biblical truth. But here's another biblical truth that is equally true. I have no sense of awareness of my connection with the believers in Zimbabwe. I have no sense of relationship with the Christians in Selma, Alabama. I have no sense of my one another connection and the use of my gifts and their gifts complementing me with the brother and sister of Christ who live in Scandinavia. It's a mystical spiritual truth, but I have no personal connection to it. But guess who I do have a sense of one another's with? Guess who I do have a relationship with of people who can impact me and I can impact them? Christians where? Right here. This is a body. And that truth is also taught in the New Testament. It's called the local body. There's the universal body and there's the local body. So you're not here by accident. Wow. Think about eternity. Think about time and space. Think about God's kingdom. Think about God's plan and what he's doing in the world now. And God has us here at this moment for a purpose. He's made you a part of this body for a reason. You are here for an eternal purpose. That's pretty important. And when we understand our gifts and how we're to use our gifts, we live lives of eternal significance. That makes a difference for us. That makes a difference for the people we are connected with. It makes a difference for the eternal plan of God. That's why this spiritual gifts teaching is so important. We are part of a body. And here's my third and final observation, because I'm going to have to tear up my no-sweat contract I signed when I started this church. It's hot up here. Third observation, we need to understand there are different gifts. This unity principle, this body principle, this interdependent principle is expressed through diversity, not through sameness. Do you remember the baseball team watching the Angels game? There were certain things they had in common. They're part of the same team, same uniform. They batted, they threw the ball, they had gloves, they caught the ball. But they had a unique position, shortstop, first base, catcher, pitcher, right field. They were all unique positions. We, each one of us, has a unique position on the team. And when we understand the position that God has designed us for, wow, that's when we live lives of significance. That's when we make a contribution. And that's when we collectively make a difference in this world. And in this passage, Romans chapter 12, he names seven spiritual gifts. When you look at Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, there's 20-some spiritual gifts, depending on how you understand the meaning of a couple of words. Then there's some other passages that other functions are described as spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are the supernatural abilities the Holy Spirit gives us to serve the body of Christ and to accomplish God's kingdom purposes. They may be tied to natural talents. They may be part of Christian behavior that all Christians should experience. But they are supernatural abilities the Holy Spirit uniquely gives us for the position he wants us to play on the team. Seven that are mentioned here in Romans chapter 12, it says, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Prophecy is the gift of proclamation, proclaiming the truth of God. Sometimes, as in the Old Testament, there were prophecies that were directed towards the future, forth-telling. Sometimes, most of the time, they were just bold declarations of God's word. Sometimes, as in the case of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, prophecy functions as in not words that are future predictions that should be written down in Scripture, and not just the clear proclamation of the gospel or the clear proclamation of scriptural truth, but sometimes prophecy functions as personal words that God gives to a person to speak to a congregation or to speak to an individual. Words that they wouldn't know themselves and the person didn't know, but God gave them the ability to communicate a message from him that that person needed to hear or that church needed to hear. It's a proclamation gift of truth. Romans 12 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Verse 7, if it's serving, let him serve. This is the Greek word diakonia. It's where we get the word deacon. It's a general word in the New Testament for service. Some people are gifted as servants. The way the Holy Spirit has designed them is if there's a need, they want to fill it. If there's chairs that need to be put up, they put up chairs. If bulletins need to be passed out, they pass out bulletins. If there's a work day at the church, they show up to do some work. Whatever it is where there is help needed, someone with the gift of service joyfully steps in and serves. Now, should we all be servants? Yes, but some people are supernaturally gifted above and beyond to be able to serve. If it's serving, let them serve. If it's teaching, let them teach. This is the Greek word didaskalos. It means, like it's translated here, teaching. It's various forms of communication to impart spiritual truth. So sometimes teachers are verse-by-verse Bible teachers. Sometimes teachers tell stories. Sometimes teachers do one-on-one ministry. Sometimes teachers do small groups. Sometimes teachers parents to child. But it's the communication of truth, giving the details of scripture and spiritual truth. If it's teaching, let them teach. Verse 8. If it's encouraging, let them encourage. It's the Greek word parakaleo. Sometimes it's translated encourage, sometimes exhort. Encouragers want to speak words that motivate, stimulate, and challenge people to action. It's much more of a personal-oriented gift where words are spoken to inspire, to encourage, to console, to move people to action. If it's encouraging, encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. This is the gift of contributing or the gift of giving. Some people are given the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit to have a desire to financially contribute. Should we all contribute? Yes. Should we all tithe? Yes. But some people are called and are given the desire to, in a special way, give financially to God's work, whether it be for an individual or for missions or for a church. They love doing it. They're motivated to do it. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it's leadership, let them govern diligently. The word leadership is a Greek word that literally means the person who stands in front. Some people God calls to lead the charge, to stand in front, and people follow them for God-ordained goals and purposes. If it's leadership, let them govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let them do it cheerfully. Some people have the supernatural ability to respond to need with mercy and compassion. I mentioned there's a list of gifts here. There's a list in 1 Corinthians 12. There's a list in Ephesians 4. We're going to look at each of them. Next week, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Holy Spirit is the sovereign giver of different spiritual gifts. Many look at these gifts in Romans chapter 12 as foundational. These are your motivational gifts. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, they're the manifestation gifts, the manifest work of the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 4, they're the ministry gifts, the specific roles that you've been designed to play within the body. If that's true, then what that means is here in Romans chapter 12 is describing how God uniquely designed you with respect to what motivates you to serve Christ's kingdom. Just like there's different players on a baseball team playing their role. The word here is charismata. Charis is grace. Charismata is grace gift. Every one of us has been grace gifted. Let me see if I can illustrate this idea of a motivational gift. Let's suppose we were at a fancy dinner party and you have someone there representing each of these seven gifts mentioned in Romans chapter 12. And somebody accidentally knocks over their water. Water spills all over the place under their food and the glass breaks. And each of the persons on the table respond to that out of their motivational gift. The person with the gift of prophecy says, well, you wouldn't have spilled if you hadn't been so careless. Just speaking the truth, tell it like it is. The person with the gift of serving says, let me go get a rag and I'll wipe that up for you. The person with the gift of teaching says, you know what happened? When you hit that glass, it knocked it off its coaster and the water displaced within there so that the pressure on the top was greater than the pressure on the bottom and the glass fell over. The person with the gift of encouraging responds by saying, and you know, it's okay, I've done the same thing myself, but can I help you so you won't do that again? The person with the gift of giving says, you know what, I'll pay for the tablecloth, if, you know, all cleaning bills, I'll just take care of it. The person with the gift of leadership stands up and says, okay, this is what we need to do. You go get the rag, you get another glass of water, you stay still, you go get them another plate of food. And the person with the gift of mercy says, oh, I feel so bad for you. Do you want to talk about how you feel about it? Now, it's a humorous look, but here's the point. Every one of those responses is valid. And maybe you find yourself kind of, I think I'd probably do this or that. It's because God has designed us uniquely in the body of Christ. He's given us, using the sports analogy, a position to play. The spiritual gifts that God gives us are to build up the body of Christ, to accomplish God's purposes. And when we do it, we find our greatest joy and our greatest fulfillment. But you know where you start? Your relationship with God. The most important thing in understanding spiritual gifts and being part of a church and being gifted and having abilities to serve God and accomplish kingdom purposes, the most important thing is to offer our bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. Stop being conformed to the world and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We got to begin with our relationship with God.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is telling us how we should respond to the mercies of God. And he says, first and foremost, we are to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice. It's our acceptable commitment of worship. And once we've given ourselves to God, we need to understand that we've been made part of a body. And as part of the body, we're called to serve. Paul says it this way, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of the saints, he should give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Paul says that we've been made part of a body, and as a part of the body, we are to serve one another, and we're to serve one another through the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. Each one of us, as followers of Jesus Christ, has one or more spiritual gifts, and our spiritual gifts define how we're to serve and how we're to build up the body of Christ. You have been gifted by God. God's grace has not only brought you into a saving relationship with Christ, God's grace is operating in your life through the form of a spiritual gift that God has given to you to use as a part of Christ's body. It's like an athletic team or a sports team where you play a certain position, and when all the positions perform in their proper function, the whole team is effective. The whole team wins. Well, the body of Christ wins when each member uses their spiritual gift in service. What spiritual gift has God given to you? That's the great discovery that we're on in this series. It begins by surrendering our life to Jesus Christ. For us to discover the gift that God has given to us to serve the body of Christ, the first commitment we need to make is to present our whole lives to Christ. Would you do that right now? If that's your desire, I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, help me discover how you've gifted me. Help me know my place in the body of Christ. I surrender to you. I yield my whole life to you. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, and I ask you to use me as Christ's servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives.
The cross before, the world behind, no turning back.